Amen. You can be seated, please. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's look at verse 7. Here in chapter 3 of Hebrews, you'll find Paul going back to the wilderness experience of the Israelites. Now, in the first six verses there in chapter 3, Paul is telling the Hebrews to get their eyes off of Moses, and they need to start getting their eyes on Jesus Christ instead. In verse 1, Christ is the apostle and high priest of our profession. Yes, Moses was Israel's apostle, the one set by God, a type of the Lord Jesus, as Paul puts it there in verse 5, a testimony of those things which to be spoken after. And that's what I want you to, let's go to verse 5 there. Paul tells us that Moses was a servant and that Christ was the son that ruled his own house. I believe totally in going to church. The Bible speaks of it. It's a commandment to go to church, amen. This is the house of the Lord, amen. This is God's prayer house. This is where we can move the hand of God. This is where we can lay the burdens down at the foot of Calvary. This is where we can go and get our cups full, for we can make it throughout the week until next Sunday. Amen. Amen. Moses' ministry was to the Hebrew people, to the house of Israel. Christ's ministry is to us, a people introduced as a holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. And then Paul presses this point home here in verse 6, whose house are we? We hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now please understand, the Jews was brought out of Egypt by Moses, had hope of Canaan. It had been promised to them on the ground of faith. It is the same with believers today. We become part of God's house on the basis of faith alone. And sometimes, believe it or not, we fail to believe God. Amen. It's sad, but it's true. Now I want you to notice verse 7 there. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if we will hear his voice. Today, of course, indicates urgency. It means now, not later, but it means now. In other words, it refers to this present moment of time. And today, if we will hear his voice, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, God says, behold, now is acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. The time to respond to God is always then and always now. Amen? Amen. It means urgency. He repeats three times, Paul does in the Hebrews here in this same chapter, three times this word today. You'll find it in verse 7, verse 13, and you'll find the word today in verse 15. But the problem begins when we hear the word of God and feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we say, no, not now. I got plenty of time. We tend to procrastinate with the most important issues of life. But here Paul says, now Paul gives us a warning that runs not only through this chapter, but through also the next chapter. That if we fail to respond to the Word of God, it would be a start that your heart's going to be hardened. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You can't prevent it because you keep saying no, 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 and your heart's going to get like stone. And sooner or later, you ain't going to have the desire to be around Christians, being around churchgoers, being around this. Your desire is still be out there in Egypt. Amen? Amen and amen and amen. Every time we say no to Jesus, there's no doubt our hearts get harder. And he reminds us how Israel had provoked God in the wilderness. Notice there now, as I'm still laying the introduction now, there in verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Provocation means bitterness, strife, anger. In verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with the generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Notice verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing. in departing. In Greek, that means apostasy, a falling away from the living God. And exhort one another daily while it is called today. Why it is called today. See that word today? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. My. Sin is deceitful. It looks good. You give sin an inch, it'll take a mile. As I always say, it enslaves, it devastates families, shatters lives, it ruins our testimonies. Yeah. Amen. And then let's go ahead and let's look at verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. If you're saved, you're a partaker. You're a partaker with Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it said today, if we hear his voice, harden not your heart as in provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But when whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter in his rest? Oh, my, shall not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, to fully understand these passages, we need to know a little bit about the history of the nation of Israel. We find here Israel is given to us an example. Israel is a generation. That was a generation. Hey, by the way, we're living in a generation that knows God, not God. Amen? But here's a generation that rebelled against God. A generation that came out of Egypt, that doubted God, and because of their unbelief, they have never entered the land of Canaan. Notice Hebrews 3:11 there. They shall not enter into my rest. Now catch this. Now catch what I'm about to say. Israel had provoked God. They had disrespected God. And you'll find that there's no appreciation what God has done for them at all. Like some of us Baptists, like some of us Christians, we don't appreciate what God has done for us. Amen? And in return, God refused to allow them to enter the Canaan to rest. Now, stay with me. They're no longer slaves in Egypt. They came out by the blood. Y'all know the story. Remember the Passover and the blood upon the doorpost. They came by the power of God, and God brought them across the Red Sea. He had delivered them. And our Lord Jesus is telling us this morning, listen to us, please stay with me, because of their unbelief, these people shall not enter the land of Canaan. Now catch this, stay with me. When the children of Israel came, listen, out of the land of Egypt, we know they crossed over. We're talking about the cross over the Red Sea. They sung a song of Moses. God has delivered us. How great he is. Then we know that they left Mount Sinai on the 11th day journey, which could have gotten them into the promised land. But no, they had to send in spies. To search. They had to search out the land. You see, it wasn't necessary. God had already promised them, hey, Moses, you just let them go on over there. Y'all just going over to the promised land, and I'll protect you. There's milk and honey over there. And they said, I think we better go ahead and send some spies over there and make sure it's okay to cross over. How many Baptists we know today are Christian, let me say Christians, that has that same mentality? We do. Oh, should we go to church? Or should we do this? Or should we pray? But it's amazing when we get in the disaster, have a disaster upon our lives, we want to find God all of a sudden. Let's break glass in case of emergency. It's sad how we treat God. And here in this story, Paul's teaching us, listen, not only, hey, this story is for our example. Y'all understand that? To do not what they did. Right? Y'all understand? Amen and amen. And God has delivered them. But they was ungrateful. And it wasn't necessary, as I stated. God already promised them. In other words, let me just say that there were some Thomases in the bunch. The bottom line is this. They didn't see nothing but giants. They seen giants. They didn't see what God wanted them to see. You know, 10 came back, amen, with a false report. We know 2 came back with a good report. Y'all know the story. And the majority accepted the false report, and they spent what, church? 40 years running around in the wilderness, which should have just took them a few days. And what was their reason? What was the reason why God had them going around? And each time they started complaining and griping, towards the leaders and towards each other. God said, take another lap, Bubba. And they spent 40 years there because of their unbelief. It's sad, but it's true. Some of y'all are in the bondage of sin. You've been running around wilderness for way far too long. And listen to the preacher, your 40 years is about up. Notice verse 9 there. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Saw my works 40 years. Now, it's no coincidence that God also gave Israel 40 years to repent after Christ's crucifixion before he used General Titus to come in and destroy Jerusalem and the temple. That's not a coincidence. Amen. Know you not that you're are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Hey, if you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Your body is a temple. Amen. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. He said, take my rest upon you. That is the blessing of salvation in Christ. Jesus is coming to me, all you laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you salvation. Rest of obedience. There's rest of redemption. Rest of enjoying the Christian life. Jesus gave that rest, but the question today is, have you entered the rest that believers are to have? And listen, stay with me as you and I sojourn through this life. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? We journey through this wilderness. Do we have it? Do we have the rest? Do we? I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about the promised land. Do you have the assurance heaven is your home? Paul says there are many that are saved, but have not entered to the blessings of the Christian life. They're out there in a wilderness journey and nowhere to go. And Paul says, and I believe it's over there in the 1 Corinthians, he said they're carnal Christians. Oh, you're missing out on the greatest thing in being a Christian. That is having the peace of God and the rest of God, having the blessings from Almighty God. And he says there in Hebrews chapter 3, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. That's what it says there in verse 10. Do we not know his ways, church? We know we're supposed to pray. We know we're supposed to sow win. We know we're supposed to go to church. We know we're supposed to be faithful stewards. And he says, they should not enter into my rest because of unbelief. And that generation of Israelites will not enter into the land of promise. And my friend, until you not only accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and walk with him by faith and committing your life to him by faith, you're not going to be able to enter the promised land. You're not. That's what the Bible says. We're missing out on the greatest blessings of all. That is the relationship with Christ, the abundance of life that Christ gives to us. No matter what life throws at us, heaven is our home, and we need to start acting like heaven is our home. People need to identify and say, hey, that's a Christian, she's a Christian, or he's a Christian. We need to quit running around the wilderness of Egypt and get in the house of God and grow in the admiration of the Lord for people to see, hey, there is a God instead of a corrupt government. Amen. It's sad that we have a great many wilderness Christians running around in our churches today. To those Israelites that's out there in the wilderness, God says, you are not going to know what rest is. That's what he's trying to say this morning. And there are perhaps some in this room this morning who just don't know what rest really means. They have never entered into it. They have never fully surrendered to the Almighty God in their life. They did a little bit years ago. They might have goosebumps came up under a good sermon or a good music program, something like that. And all they got was stirred, and it never changed. And I would always say that. I would always say that. We got a lot of people that just got stirred, never change. If there's no change in life, I'd be really concerned about if I'm going to heaven or not. I say God demands a change in one's life. Listen, it's not the baptistry that's going to save you. It's not the preacher going to save you. It's Jesus Christ going to save you. It's no denomination going to save you. It's Jesus Christ going to save you. He's saying to us today, we need to get out of the land of Egypt and get on the promised land. Amen and amen and amen. Remember, God was angry with their sin. What was their sin? It wasn't murder. It wasn't stealing or lying. What was it? The sin of disbelief. They didn't believe God about the promised land there. And listen, that God had a whole lot of blessings. They didn't believe this. That God had a whole lot of blessings for them and promises for them. But they just couldn't see through the eyes of faith. I will always say this also. We have a lot of Thomases that's all around different churches. They got to see the marks of Jesus in their hands before they believe. I'm going to tell you something right here is how you're going to believe. You got to get in the Word. This is a mirror, by the way. I love opening up my mirror because it tells me how dirty I am. This is my wash basin. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. Y'all hold on tight. It gets better. Y'all put your seats in the upright position and put your trays up. Proverbs 22 verse 9. Brother Trey knows what I'm talking about. You there, say amen. Amen. He that hath a bountiful eye. Look at it. Whoopee! Man, work up some of you. Shall be blessed. My. Man, that's good stuff there. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. Solomon is saying, if you will keep a bountiful eye, you and I will be blessed. I believe this will help us. And I know it is. This morning, this message, it'll help you if you came here with saying, God, give me something. Amen. I believe this message to help us in the area that God wants you to enter into this message, enter into his rest. He that hath the bountiful eye shall be blessed. I believe this is a truth that God has absolutely changed, that can absolutely change your life. Hey, Brother Daniel, wake up back there, son. Amen. You're going to fall out of that pew, buddy. Amen. And folks, stay with me. I believe some of you could be in, and I've been there. I believe some of you could be in the bottom of a barrel. Amen. But this verse, I believe right here with all my heart that God wants us to know this morning that ye shall be blessed if you have a bountiful eye. Amen. The scripture says, he that hath a bountiful eye, not someone who had a bountiful eye, not someone who's looking for a bountiful eye, but someone right now who has a bountiful eye. He said, is that not what your verse says? Shall be blessed. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want God to bless us. I want the joys of Canaan. I want to enter his rest. And when I do, God says that I have a bountiful eye. I want his blessings upon my home. I want his blessings upon my marriage. I want his blessings upon my ministry. I want God's blessing. And the word of God says that he hath the bountiful eye shall be blessed. In essence, he's saying, as you go through this life, and listen, it's all in the eyes of beholder. It's beholder. It's your choice. It's heaven or it's hell. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. Amen. You can be a child of God or you can be the child of the devil. It's your choice. It's your choice. Don't do as the Israelites did. All they could see was giants in the land instead of seeing the promises of the Almighty God. And fell short of Canaan and died in the wilderness. Some of y'all got so much pride that you won't even pray to God unless you're in trouble. You need to talk to your father like you do your real daddy. Amen. Yes, they were out of Egypt, but they still had Egypt in them. Like some of us, with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Amen. And because of their rebellion, God said, wherefore I was grieved. That's what the scripture says right there with the generation. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 3. Y'all could turn there while I'm still hitting those verses. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. They shall not enter my rest. Some of you guys, y'all get fired up now, amen? Amen. Listen, you can make your life, you can make your life or break your life. And many of us have broke our lives because we won't get out of the wilderness. Our problem is we want to still have the world and a little bit of Christian attitude, and that is not pleasing to the Father. You see, the Holy Ghost is not going to have one foot in a bar and one foot in the church. I know that ain't worth. Sin will quench out the fire. Y'all know that's this little light of mine. Y'all know that little child song. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have the light of Jesus Christ. I mean, this church has the light of Jesus Christ. That's why this church is a lighthouse. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to go down to Egypt. I want to stay up here in the promised land. And I want people to know that this Cornerstone Baptist Church, listen, we're a soul-winning church. We see the light. We know the light. We got to get the message out to the lost and dying world. We got to tell people to stay out of Egypt and start acting like there's a God. If you want a revival in America, hey, we're going to have to start acting like there's a God. You want your marital problem fixed? We're going to have to start acting like there's a God. We got to get out of Egypt and stay out of Egypt. We got to get in the promised land. And we got to have that bountiful eye on. We got our eyes on self too much. Pornographic materials. Ungodly things. And then we want to know what's happening. God forgive us. We're not looking through the bountiful eye of what God wants us to look through. We're looking on the circumstances still of the answer. And that answer is God Himself. We got to quit looking at the circumstances. God says it's a sin to worry. It's in Psalms. And why do we worry? The devil pushes that in your conscience and pushes that. We got to quit looking at the circumstances and start looking for the answer. That answer is Jesus Christ. This have my own way crowd never will get a blessing God has for him. Because many a man hath filled their souls with their own selfishness, with their own agenda. It's my way, preacher, or else. Well, that's between you and God. I'm just a messenger. But I do know what God expects of you. Don't preach at me, preacher. But I do know how the Holy Spirit thinks. Amen. These are the one who was in Egypt, but Egypt is still in them. They're all marked up. They're all spotted up by Egypt. Can't see it because they don't have that bountiful eye in which God wants them to have. In other words, as long as you're in the world, you won't have a desire to be in church. As long as you're in the world more than you are, even with, I'm talking about Christian people, even right there, but you should be in church. Amen? As long as you're in the world, you won't have that burning desire to please God, your Father. You'll be wanting to please self. You'd be wanting to do what you want to do. You'd be wanting to do, and your kid come up to you and say, hey, I want to go to church on church. I'm going to roll over and go back to sleep. Yeah. We'd be wanting to do what we want to do. They got up to the promised land, the land of Canaan, and all of a sudden they rebel. They've been complaining. They have seen the miracles. They've seen the 10 plagues. They've seen the Red Sea. They've seen food from heaven. Manna from heaven is a symbolic picture of the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. They fell. They ate quail. They ate steak. They had plenty of water. They complained they had plenty of water. And God was always there to meet their needs, their clothes, their shoes. They're never worn out for 40 years, by the way. But listen, God loved them. He loved them. And yet, listen, they rebelled. And that's what the church is doing today. Amen, Brother Eddie. I love that. I don't know how you did it, but that sounds good. Amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Can't see it because we don't have that bountiful eye. A bountiful eye is needed if we're ever going to catch God's attention. A bountiful eye is needed to get our prayers answered. A bountiful eye is needed if we want God to use us. A bountiful eye is needed for God to receive the glory. A bountiful eye is needed in order for us to see clearly, in order for us to help others, in order for us to see the way out of the darkness of this pit that we always get into. Listen, that we get ourselves into, amen. Listen, it's about the bountiful eye. Amen. A bountiful eye is needed to ensure our hope in time of despair. A bountiful eye is needed when rent is due, when you just got laid off of work. Now, if you look the word up, bountiful there, in its content, it means a fella seeing life more abundantly. That's what it means. He sees life as more abundantly. Now, folks, God gave us this day, and we ought to rejoice in it. We need to shout. Hey, well, you ought to have a smile on your face. Amen. You could have been laid. You could have been in the hospital, laid up 6 months, or you could have drunk a whole bunch of pickle juice or something, or whatever. But hey, we ought to rejoice, even if you did drink a bunch of pickle juice. or eat a bunch of lemons, Jeremiah. Amen. There you go. We ought to rejoice in it. Amen and amen and amen. If we look and say this is a bounty, think about this. Speaking of the bounty for I, if we look, and y'all came in here this morning and said, man, it's a beautiful day. You know what you're saying? I have a bounty for I. Amen. When I mentioned Lou and her son Riley getting baptized, those amens and smiles came on people's faces. What you're saying, that's a bounty for I. And that's what God wants us to know this morning. Amen. Amen and amen. If you don't have a bounty of I, you're never going to see the riches of God's grace that He has for you. Always with the, you're going to end up always finding things wrong with everybody. You have a rebellion at it, always with this grumbling, complaining, always with this self-righteousness stuff. We must have a bounty of I if we're ever going to be blessed, or you're never going to be able to enter the land of Canaan where the promises is, where the milk and honey is, where your prayers are going to be answered. Amen and amen. Just like the Israelites, their hearts were hard because of unbelief. Do you remember, I mentioned earlier, and I got it from Exodus chapter 15. Once they had crossed the Red Sea there, you remember it split? Israel was singing a song. Now get this, it was a song of redemption. They were singing that. This is the same crowd that only a few hours before on the other side of the Red Sea were moaning, crying out that they wanted to go back to Egypt and saying, has thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? That's got to be Baptist. They just seen 10 plagues, water open up, and now it's closed, and now they're grumping and griping again. Moses, you took us over here to die in this wilderness. Do you recall the day Jesus rode a donkey through the eastern gate, singing Hosanna, and they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. That actually means victory, victory, amen. And a few hours later, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. You see the same scenario today. Many people have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, I need you and I love you. Help me do this and help me do that. But I ask, how's your relationship with God today? Are we not doing the same thing when we're saying no to prayer? Are we no to go to church? No to being a testimony for the cause of Christ? Are we not doing the same thing? We are. If you don't like going to church here, going to church here or any true church, you're not going to like heaven. Because that's what heaven's about. Singing. Being around Christians. My. That's what I want. I want heaven. I love that song. That song, when heaven came down, the glory filled my soul. I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved several years ago, back when I got off Noah's Ark, listen, heaven came down and saved my soul. I could take you to that little Baptist church, that little brown, steel, rusted chair. Yeah, we was poor. We had rusted chairs. They didn't come out with the enamel stuff yet. We used buttermilk on it. Had a little butter on the chairs before they went. Amen. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. But we see the same scenario today that we actually say no to God to way too much. Suppose that Jesus looks down upon your life this morning. Or let's say, suppose Jesus looks down on your life, and my life this past week. Huh? I wonder what he'll see or would have seen. He sees you talk about everything under the sun. He sees us talk about the weather. He sees us talk about the movies or jobs. Amen. Sports, government, jokes. Amen. You talk about everything under the sun. God looks down. He sees you having. He sees you have time, that you have time for everything else but not for him. He sees this. He sees you read the newspaper every day, but he doesn't see you read the Word of God. God looks down and sees that you may know more about baseball averages than about the Word of God. You can quote more statistics about the OU than you can the scriptures of the Holy Word. You see, listen, you're reading everything, and I've done this. We read everything but the Word of God. We're so bad believing the newspaper, but we won't believe the Word of God. We're so bad about believing a little child that steals cookie out of your cookie jar, and you won't believe the preacher. Huh? Don't get quiet. I mean, ain't time to pray, and everybody look up. Amen. Are we not doing the same thing the Israelites are doing? That had done? Amen. My. I believe many of us are missing out on the joys of Canaan. The blessings of life is not what we get, church. It's what we can give to others. That's a bountiful eye. When's the last time you gave your shirt off the back for somebody? When's the last time you say, hey, since you came out and soul winning, let me take you home? When's the last time you made a phone call and say, hey, you want to, I heard you say something the other day at church that you want to go soul winning or to the prayer meeting. Y'all know I'm right? But it's all about me, me, me. It's all about self. It's what I want to get out of life. You see, while we trying to climb the success ladder so much, there's people dying going to the devil's hell, and God's going to blame us for it. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Remember, the children spent 40 years in the wilderness because of their lip service. We've seen some today that set in our churches throughout America and around the world is living a life of world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's a favorite phrase I use a lot. We're so bad about living like the devil so much, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. We have some today that's sitting in our church and perhaps living a life of this so-called hypocritical life. They're still in Egypt in their bondage to sin. And Paul is, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Paul said, look, I'm using this story, this chapter, as an example for things that you don't need to do as they did. But yet we still go out these doors. I can blow it up on the PowerPoint and we go right out that door and you're right back in your sins. Right, right. Yep, right. There is a God. Amen. And God is serious this morning. The world's coming to an end, church. Your country is failing over so many times. You got a president shaking hands with dictators and leave Israel in and shaking his fist at Israel. Jesus is coming. You better get your life in order. We don't know what day it could come 10 years, but the signs of the times is here. Amen. My. It's coming today when God will say, you're broken my heart for the last time, and God is going to walk away from you. He's been dealing with your heart about salvation, and you've been playing church way too much, and sooner or later God's going to say, that's it. They've crossed my deadline, and I'm walking away from them. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. A lot of things will happen when God walks away. Hello, America. There are some sitting perhaps here this morning. God's Spirit's been begging and pleading with you to start being more involved in church. My. To save some, to save some that's been that just been running like a Jonah. Y'all remember the story of Jonah? God said, Jonah, I want you to do this. Jonah said, no way, I'm catching the boat and I'm going down to Southern Baptist. Yeah. Amen? That's exactly what happened. And the Southern Baptist deacons threw him out, and then he went to the Free Will Baptist. Uh-huh. And the Free Will Baptist washed his foot so much his toes started wearing out. Next thing you know, he came out of that mess and got right with God, and he ended up winning a city with 120,000 people in it with just 8 words he said in the sermon. And I preach an hour here sometimes. Some of you visitors don't get pale on me. I preach an hour to 2 hours here. And here's Jonah preach 8 words, and hey, a whole city repented. My. You see, that city was ready for God. Ready for God to do something. What about McAllister? I'm going to tell you something. As I studied Billy Sunday. He's a great man of God in 40, 50. He's a great ball player in the 30 and 40. Y'all know Billy Sunday. Amen. Great man of God. That man, when he preached, you better not have no chairs up here, no microphone standing up, because it's gone. That's right. I'm going to tell you, him and John the Baptist cousins, now I'm the second cousin. But Billy Sunday, I'm going to tell you something. When he showed up in town, the bars closed down. The casinos could close down. The mafia locked their doors because the man had the power of God on him. Business said, uh-oh, Billy's showing up in town. He's going to hurt my business. They got to shut the doors. But nowadays, we find Christians in the bars. We find all kinds of sin that Christians are doing today. You see, they're still in Egypt. Huh? They're still they're complaining and griping. As I always say, the lovers chew steak on one side of their mouth, but complain on the other. And just think how Moses had felt with over a million belly-aching Baptists griping. My, my, my. And that's the little preachers. I call myself a little preacher, even though I'm way over 200 pounds. But anyway, I call myself a little preacher. And we're growing. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And then us preachers, where do you think this gray hair comes from? Hey, I'm trying to catch up to Moses. Amen. We're saved, are we not?
Amen.
Amen. But there's people all over this world. That's why we send missionaries out that has never left Egypt. You'll find that the one thing that hurts God the most, and this is not my notes, I'm just going to say this, is we got a lot of people claiming Christ, but they don't want to do nothing for Christ. They don't want to do a thing for Christ. And it could be counterfeit Christianity. I don't know, but I do know pastors are fruit inspectors. And Jesus said, the world will know that you belong to him if you bear fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Are you bearing good fruit or are you bearing ungodly fruit? Huh? In the book of James, God says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now, what does it mean? It means that you can absolutely deceive yourself into thinking you're a good Christian and not do a thing for God. Amen. James says, don't deceive yourself to thinking you're a good Christian because you don't drink, dip, or chew. He said you can deceive yourself, you can hear, but you're not responding as a child of God should. Be doers of the word, he says there in James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't come to church and just hear, do something. Just listen, don't just sit there, do something for God. Let people know how much God is in you. Amen. Again, y'all know the sin that kept Israel out of the promised land. What kept them from crossing over? What were their sins? As I stated earlier, it wasn't murder or stealing. It wasn't lying. What was the Israelites' sin? Remember, there was right there at the entrance of Canaan, right there. Just a few yards away from crossing over the Jordan. They could just reach out and get some blessing. Oh, there's milk and honey there. There's peace and joy. But you know, they just kind of doubted there. After all the miracles seen, and when they woke up in the morning, they had manna all over the ground. God was feeding them, over a million people. And they had their little old pots and they filled it up. And by the way, I did a message on the manna. And you read that story there. You'll find out that they had certain vessels they filled up. And it doesn't matter. I know some of you ladies just love shopping on Black Friday. I know it. You just fill your carts full. And there were some ladies in the days of Israel. And that day when they woke up and see all that manna. And they took their pot and they were shoving that stuff in there. Did you know that it didn't matter that pot stayed at the same level? God said, you're not going to take more. This is what Moses and Aaron and all of them gave to the people. The families had their little pots. And they went out every morning to pick up bread off the ground, manna from heaven. And no matter how much you push in there, it's not going to get full. You see, there's a limit there, limitation. My, 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 my. Boy, that would preach for a while. Amen. There was right there, church, and I'm about to close, and y'all get to go to Western Sizzling and eat. Amen. It was just in their distance. The catch is just a few yards away, and all of a sudden, there was some rumors going around. There was some complaining going around. What was the greatest sin the Israelites committed before the eyes of the Father? Y'all know it. It was a sin of disbelief. I said it 3-4 times this morning. A sin which prevented them from entering Canaan. It was a sin of disbelief. And that stopped some of you accepting Christ this morning. The biggest sin against God Himself is a sin of disbelief, not believing in God. That's the biggest sin there is. But here you got people, they're on the promised land, they've seen all this stuff as I stated. They're almost there, like some of you there, here this morning, you're almost there. That little perspiration that you're getting on the side of your forehead, and all, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit convicting you. Say, listen to the preacher. Hey, I want you to get saved. Cross over. And I'm going to tell you something. He's giving you that fancy for eye right now. He's the one that's got the rest for you. In order for you to see the proper rest, you got to have that bouncer for eye. Amen. God's dealing with you about salvation, please get saved today. Amen. Because I pray everybody's saving here. Because listen, we're going to the promised land. We're going to the promised land. Remember now, out of rebellion, they didn't believe God enough to enter the land. Oh, they believed Him enough to come out of Egypt, but not enough to enter Canaan. It's like some of us. We believe God enough to go to church, but we just can't let go of the world. You're never going to find rest for your souls and riches. You're only going to find rest for your souls and the one with the nail-scarred hands. He says they heareth, but they won't do nothing. He's building his life on the materialistic things. He's not doing anything for God. He said they hear, they're not listening, and their hearts are getting hard. Some of y'all came through here this morning with hard hearts. Some of y'all are still going to leave with hard hearts. And it's sad, but it's true. You could care a flip what this preacher's saying. But to the rest of you, God's dealing with you. Amen? Do you know who the complainers are in most churches throughout the world? It's those who has never found rest in Jesus Christ. All they could see is giants, problems, bills, marital problems, job problems. They don't see Jesus Christ. They don't see that rest. Even Moses had complainers. You sent us out here to die in the wilderness. Let us go back and serve the Egyptians. My. And because of their hardened hearts, they couldn't go in. And I'm going to close with this last verse. And please, everybody stay with me. I'm going to go round two in just 5 minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. We'll go home. Y'all get to go to the burnt sacrifices. Amen. Believe it or not, that's so true. My wife put a meatloaf on. By the time I got finished preaching, Terry, Anthony, all of us, we couldn't eat it. And that wasn't her fault. It was because of the preacher. Amen. Y'all write that down, you ladies. I know you got a little diary there. Where you get on your Facebook and start gossiping. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened to them for examples. I said it earlier. And they were written for our admiration. Look, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Y'all see that? Now all these things were recorded for our admiration and warning. Now catch this. Israel is a picture of the believer. Israel in this story is a picture of the believer. Egypt is the type of the world of sin and bondage in which we as sinners are enslaved, or were enslaved, some of us. Remember, Israelites were completely out of Egypt but came short of the rich land of abundant life. The Canaan of victory. Remember, all these things happened to them for our example. The rescue of the Israelites from Egypt is like Jesus dying for the sins of the world. I'm going to try to hurry up. But like the children of Israel, we enter the wilderness. And listen, when we must make a choice. Huh? If we long for the promised land and believe God can get us there, we put our faith in Him. But if we, like the first generation, reject God and long to go back to the world, listen, you're not going to enter the promised land. I'm not either. So I ask this morning in closing, have you ever entered the rest of Jesus Christ? When you were running with the worldly crowd and trying to live like the devil and play these little religious games on Sundays, you're not going to find rest. You and I are fooling ourselves. We think we can run with sin and get by with it. Hello, teenagers. Y'all go ahead. Y'all listen to this old preacher. I know what it is to sow your wild oaks. And I know what it is to reap. And if you believe anything about God, you believe that Bible that says you're going to reap what you sowed. You better listen to your parents. They've been heartbreak rich. Ain't it amazing, as I stated at home, some of you home folks already know, I heard this statement before, when they're small, they step on your toes, but when they grow up, they step on your heart. Amen. So true. Remember a text now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You say, well, nobody wants me, preacher. Nobody wants me. But God does. God wants you. You may say, I'm a dirty sinner. Well, God wants you. But you say, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. He died for you. God is a God of second chances. You don't understand, we just got a divorce. Hey, God is a God of second chances. How many of you got saved the very first time you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't be bashful. Somebody here, first time somebody present the gospel to you, a tract or at a sermon. Is there anybody in here? No, I'm telling you, we all ain't going across the promised land. Amen. Some of us, you know, how many times did it take to get your presentation of the gospel to get you saved? Was it 2, 3, 4, 5? I wonder why. I wonder if you would have died in that state. You see, some of y'all, perhaps, I don't know, this could be your very first time. I don't know all the visitors. I don't know even the members what y'all do behind your door. That's your business. But I do know it could be somebody sitting here this morning. This is the first time you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know he's the way to heaven. You know that. For we're all sinners. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to trust in Jesus Christ. That's when you start begin to look into the eyes of the beholder. Amen. You want rest in Jesus Christ? You got to get in Jesus Christ. You got to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. So why don't you come this morning to the altar? Let's make some things right. Some of y'all been saved for 20, 30 years, ain't done a thing for God. It's time for y'all to renew your relationship with God. Amen. You can find rest this morning, church, by accepting Him as your Savior, as I stated. And, of course, the verse comes from Hebrews chapter 3. If you hear His voice, please don't harden your heart. As I stated a little while ago, we come and we go. We come, you shut the preacher off just like that, and you go, and your heart's hardened, and then you want to know why your life is in a mess. I'm not here to make you a Baptist. Here to try to get you convinced to stay out of Egypt and get right with God and get saved. Amen. As we stand, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want everybody to understand, we got to find the rest in Jesus Christ. You're going through some battle storms in your life, get in the arms of Jesus. You're carrying a lot of burdens. Some of us is carrying a lot of burdens around. Don't do that. The devil's going to overload you. You're going to have to come to the foot of the cross. It's between you and God. It's not between people and me. No, whatever it is that's bothering you, that's got you shackled down, you lay it at the altar, amen? And I promise you, there's no doubt in my mind, some of y'all are already seeing, some of y'all have that bountiful eye. Some of y'all already found that rest in Jesus Christ. And there's others that has one foot in church and one foot in the world. And hey, God says sweet water, bitter water cannot flow. Search your hearts, people, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Do anyone hear this?